Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me today on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk, and this is Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. We're online at kpcg.fm, and we have a live link at thetrumpet.com. If you missed any episodes of Live by Every Word and you'd like to go back and listen to those, you can find those archives at kpcg.fm and at thetrumpet.com, and that goes for all of the programming here on Trumpet Radio. You can find it there. The framework for all end-time prophecies is found in two books of the Bible that have been unsealed in these last days. And those books are Daniel in the Old Testament and the book of Revelation in the New Testament. These books disclose that four major power blocks would be on the scene just prior to the return of Jesus Christ. Four major power blocks that will be prominent and important in Bible prophecy, and they'll be on the world scene right at this time, right before the return of Christ. And let's briefly look at what these four power blocks are. Daniel 11 and verse 40, we'll begin there. And if you have a Bible with you, it'd be great to get it out so we can look at these prophecies together. In Daniel 11 and verse 40, it says, "And at the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots and with horsemen and with many ships, and he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over." So we have two major power blocks identified in this verse. We have the king of the north and the king of the south. Now, when the Bible speaks of directions, it uses Jerusalem as the center point. So if you have a map and you look at Jerusalem, you can see north and south and begin to get the directions from that starting point. Now let's look at Revelation 16 and verse 12. We've already identified the king of the north and the king of the south. Those are going to be power blocks. Those are two of them. And now we find another power block, Revelation 16 and verse 12. "And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared." So you can add the kings of the east into the mix. We have the king of the north, the king of the south, and now the kings of the east. Those are three of the four major power blocks. And let's look at that final power block in Daniel 9 and verse 11. Daniel 9 and verse 11. It says, "Yes, all Israel have transgressed your law, even by departing, that they might not obey your voice." This is the fourth power block, the descendants of Israel. We have the king of the north, the king of the south, the kings of the east, and then the descendants of Israel. And of course, that's primarily the United States and Britain. And you can get the free book, The United States and Britain in Prophecy, that was written by Herbert W. Armstrong. You can find that at thetrumpet.com. It's free, and we'd be happy to send it to you. So when we're thinking about end-time prophecies, we have to keep these four power blocks in mind: king of the north, king of the south, kings of the east, and the Israelite nations. So let us first look at the biblical identification of the king of the north. With the overview of those four power blocks, now let's look at that king of the north specifically. The Bible uses a great four-sectioned image and also four ferocious beasts to give us indication about different empires that would come on the world scene. We have to put the puzzle pieces together to get a clear picture, and we will do this for the king of the north. And first, let's look at this image in Daniel 2. The Daniel 2 image, very famous, well-known image, and it has great meaning for us today. Daniel 2 and verse 28. "But there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets and makes known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days." So again, that's the time period we're living in right now. It goes on to say, "Your dream and the visions of your head upon your bed are these." And then let's go down to verse 31. You, O king, saw and behold the great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before you, and the form thereof was terrible. So quite a dream, quite a vision Nebuchadnezzar had. Verse 32 says, this image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Now again, remember, God is the one that reveals this. So as we read in Daniel 2:28, God's the one that revealed this dream and its meaning to Daniel. And so when we look at these prophecies today, we have to remember the source of them. It is God the Father who gives them to Jesus Christ, who then gives that revelation down to his apostle. And we can study into it and look and see what the meaning is for us today. And here is the meaning. Verse 37 says, you, O king, are a king of kings, talking to Nebuchadnezzar at that time, for the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, and beasts of the field, and the fowls of the heaven, has he given into your hand, and has made you ruler over them all. You are this head of gold. Well, that's not a mystery. We know. This image, the head of gold, pictures Nebuchadnezzar and his empire. Verse 39 says, and after these shall arise another kingdom inferior to you, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, forasmuch as iron breaks in pieces and subdues all things, and as iron that breaks all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. So this Daniel 2 image represents the four consecutive world-ruling empires of man. This prophecy is a look at the empires that would rule this earth from Daniel's time to the return of Christ. It's exciting to think about the fact that Christ comes and restores the kingdom of God to this earth at the end of these four empires of mankind. Okay, so that's the excitement. It's very interesting to look into the prophecy and to look at the history also of these empires. But the real excitement, the real thrill, the real hope is that the rule of man will end when Christ returns. But it's important to understand these empires. Now, again, just to keep us in, keep it all in line, these four empires that we're looking at right now, it's different from these four power blocks that are trying to rule the world today. King of the North, King of the South, Kings of the East, and the descendants of Israel. Those are the four power blocks trying to rule the world today. And we're looking at the King of the North specifically and getting some history on this. When we look at this Daniel 2 image, we're looking at four successive kingdoms that did rule this earth and are ruling this earth. So if that, hopefully that makes sense. We're differentiating between those the four groups we're talking about. Now, these four consecutive world-ruling empires, historically, are the Chaldean Empire, that was 625 to 539 BC, followed by the Persian Empire, 558 to 330 BC, followed by the Greco-Macedonian Empire. Alexander the Great began in 333 BC. And then, finally, this last empire of man, this fourth empire, the Roman Empire, 31 BC to AD 476. And then, of course, there are resurrections of this empire that we will discuss as we go. So let's get another piece of the puzzle in Daniel 7. Daniel 2 showed us this image, four successive kingdoms of man. And we get more clues here in Daniel 7. And we'll look at verses 3 through 7. This is another description of these same four world-ruling empires. Verse 3 says, and four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, arise and devour much flesh. Verse 6, after this I beheld, and lo, another, like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. And then finally in verse 7, After this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly. And it had great iron teeth. It devoured and broke in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. So how do we know that these beasts are the same four kingdoms that were described in Daniel 2? Well, because the Bible interprets itself. Notice down in verse 17. It says, "These great beasts, which are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth." And then in verse 23, it says, "Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break in pieces." So the Bible interprets itself. Daniel 7 shows us that it's the same four kingdoms as we saw in Daniel 2. They're just expressed in different imagery. In this case, different beasts arising out of the earth. But it's the same four kingdoms of man that rule this world. The Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course, which is free at thetrumpet.com, you can sign up for it, and I recommend that you do and take the course. It's tremendous. It says the word king is synonymous with kingdom, as clearly shown in verses 17 and 23. Therefore, Daniel 7 reveals that these beasts symbolize consecutive world empires. Remember that Daniel unlocks the book of Revelation. These two books work together. And so we can see another piece of the puzzle in Revelation 13, verses 1 through 2. And remember, we are identifying who the king of the north is on the earth today. So we're getting some background history that we have to look at, but the purpose is to find out who the king of the north is today. So let's look at Revelation 13. Revelation 13, starting in verse 1, it says, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy." And verse 2 says, "And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority." So John saw this vision about 650 years after Daniel. And this vision that John saw was a composite beast made up of elements of the other three beasts of Daniel 7. And you notice that when we read it, the different components, the leopard, the lion, the bear. See, all these different components in this fourth beast. And the Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course says that God showed John a symbolic beast composed of parts of three different animals, a lion, a leopard, and a bear. And therefore, John's beast is a fourth beast composed of, a composite of, the most powerful parts of each of the other three beasts of Daniel 7. This beast that John saw and the beast of Daniel 7 and verse 7 are the same. This beast represents the Roman Empire. This king of the north that is on the scene again today and is rising in power is a resurrection. In fact, it's the final resurrection of this Roman Empire, and it's also the Holy Roman Empire, and we'll talk about why that's the case here in a minute. The Correspondence Course says, "By the time of John's vision of a composite beast, John was living in the days of the fourth kingdom, which was the Roman Empire." And so again, remember when the Daniel 2 image, we're talking about those legs and those feet there. "The preceding three great empires had already risen to power and fallen. By that time, the Roman Empire had overspread, swallowed up, and absorbed all vestiges of the preceding three kingdoms. Therefore, it had all the royal splendor and power of Nebuchadnezzar's king of Babylon. It had the mouth, the strongest part of the lion. Also, it had all the massiveness and numerically powerful army of the Persian Empire, symbolized by the legs, the most powerful part of the bear. And the Roman Empire was the greatest war-making machine the world had ever seen, for it possessed the swiftness, the cunning, and the cruelty of Alexander's army, symbolized by the body of the leopard. Now we can see why God showed John a beast that was composed of the first three animals Daniel saw. John's composite beast, the Roman Empire, embodied all the dominant characteristics of the other three kingdoms. So this is a terrifying beast, and you can see why John called it a beast. You know, what is it? It's a composite. It's not like anything he'd seen. It had parts of things that he had seen, but it was different. And this Roman Empire, as we just discussed there, had elements of the three empires that came before it. It's historically fascinating to look at that. But what about today? What about this King of the North, this revival of the Holy Roman Empire today? We'll look more at that right after this short break. You're listening to Live by Every Word here on Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG. We'll be right back.
Herbert W. Armstrong long forecast the arrival of a military superpower in Europe. In a world where European nations can't rely on the United States, one in which they fear Russia and face the constant threat of radical terror, their only hope of survival is to band together. This is what we see happening, and what we see happening was prophesied in your Bible. Request Germany and the Holy Roman Empire to learn about the history of Germany and the Holy Roman Empire and to understand where the events in Europe today are leading. 3,000 years ago, the prophet Daniel explained that at the time of the end, radical Islam would push against Europe. That time is now. We are witnessing the first manifestations of this Islamist push against Europe, and it's leading to a spectacular clash between these two prophesied kings, the King of the North and the King of the South. What does the Bible say about the identity of these two kings? What about the end time? Will everyone be affected by these events? Request our two booklets, The King of the South and Germany and the Holy Roman Empire. To learn more, please visit thetrumpet.com.
This is Live by Every Word.
Welcome back to Live by Every Word here on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm. I'm Dwight Falk. Thanks for spending some time with me today. We're looking at four power blocks today that want to rule the world, are fighting currently, are jockeying for position. And that first power block that we're focusing on specifically is the final revival of the Holy Roman Empire. And before we see what this beast power, as it's called, this Roman Empire, has to do with us today, we need just a little more prophecy that became history. Let's look at Revelation 13 and verse 3. We're looking at a lot of passages today, but it's essential to understand the topic. Verse 3 says, "And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast." Now the correspondence course says, "The first six of the seven heads of the beast John saw stood for the Babylonian Empire, Medo-Persian and Grecian Empire with its four divisions. The head existing at the time John saw this beast in vision was the Roman Empire. That was the only head that was left. And so the Roman Empire is the one that was wounded to death in the vision. According to history, the deadly wound was administered to the Roman Empire by the barbarians who overran it in its last decaying stages and ending its government in AD 476. So the Roman Empire had a deadly wound administered to it. But as we read in Revelation 13 and verse 3, the deadly wound was healed. Notice that the text does not say the whole beast died. It says only one of its heads was wounded to death. But the beast itself, with its 10 horns, continued, for its deadly wound was healed, as we just read. Now let's go back to Daniel 7 and see something here. Daniel 7 And we'll look at verses 23 and 24. And thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth. Again, this is that Roman Empire, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. Verse 24 says, and the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. Very interesting imagery. What does it mean? Well, the correspondence course says this. These 10 horns are 10 succeeding kingdoms that were to rule in the Roman Empire's territory until the time when Christ comes to establish his kingdom. So this is as current as you can get because we're looking at some history, but we're also looking at a prophecy that continues right down to the return of Jesus Christ. So let's look at these 10 horns or 10 succeeding kingdoms. The first horn is the Vandals when they sacked Rome in AD 455. The second horn was German chieftain Odoacer set up his government in Rome called the Heruli, and that was in 476 to 493. Now, again, these are just some dates that you can study into more in depth if you'd like to, and we're just touching on them as we go. The third horn was the Ostrogoths. They ruled from AD 493 to 554. That's that third horn. So these three kingdoms, and again, you can study more into those specifically if you'd like to, but just to give you an overview, these three kingdoms or horns or governments, they were when sweeping into the Roman territory, filled the period known in history as the Transition Age. That is the transition between the deadly wound to that head, to that Roman Empire, and its healing. So there was kingdoms that ruled there, three horns, but they were during that transition age. The beast's wound was healed when the Roman government was restored, and it wasn't restored until the fourth horn. That's when the beast's wound was healed, and that was in AD 554 when Justinian set up his government. This time is known as the Imperial Restoration, and this was the fourth horn of Daniel 7 and verse 7. So that is when that deadly wound was healed, during that fourth horn. And this is where the story has even more parts added to it. It's quite a prophecy and quite an amazing history to look at. Let's go over to Daniel 7 verse 8. It says, I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. And then down in verse 20 it says, and of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom three fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spoke very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. And then in verse 24, and the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. So when you put all this together, you have those first 3 horns that we talked about, those first 3 governments that were in the territory of the Roman Empire. That's when the Roman Empire, that head was suffered a deadly wound at that time period. And then it was healed when Justinian came on the scene. That was the fourth horn. And this other horn now arises, plucks up or subdues 3 kings. So something happened when Justinian came on the scene. When that head, that Roman Empire, that head of the beast was healed of its deadly wound, something came on the scene. A great religion, which this little horn represents, was responsible for uprooting the first 3 horns, the Vandals, the Heruli, and the Ostrogoths. So when we're talking about this other horn that comes up, it's a religious power. It's a religion. That's what's being revealed here. That's how that wound is healed. a religion comes on the scene and that Roman Empire revives. But now it's referred to as the Holy Roman Empire because there's a religious power involved in it. Look at Revelation 13. We'll see verses 11 through 15. Lots of imagery here that we're talking about today, and it'd be easy enough to get a little bit turned around on it, but when we really stop and see what the Bible says, and if you go through, in particular, one fantastic book, Who and What is the Prophetic Beast? That's at thetrumpet.com. It will lay it out for you very specifically, like we're talking about today, and also give you some great graphics that illustrate these ideas in a way that your mind can really get a hold of. And it's important to continue to look at these things and make sure that we understand God's prophecies. Not lean to our own understanding on it, but make sure we know what God says about it. Let's look at Revelation 13, verses 11 through 15 here. It says, "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon." This is talking about that religious power. Verse 12 says, "And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed." Verse 13 says, "And he does great wonders, so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live." Verse 15 says, "And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed." This is a vision of this great religion, this great false Christianity. It appears like a lamb. And you can look in John 1 and verse 27, Christ is called the Lamb of God. It appears good. It appears like a lamb, but as we read there in Revelation, speaks like a dragon. The correspondence course says, "Remember, a horn represents a king or a government. There are two horns here, two governments on this beast. There is only one entity that purports to represent Christ that is organized as a dual, twofold government. It embodies church government and a state or civil government." And so you can think about what power that is. And it's given very specific details about that are given in the correspondence course and in Who and What is a Prophetic Beast. And you need to look at that to really get the identity of this power very specifically. But a great false religion that has a twofold government that embodies church government and a state or a civil government. There's only one entity on the earth that does that. The correspondence course says, "When the first beast's deadly wound was healed, in AD 554, by Justinian's restoration of the Roman government, this religious government took over all the power of the Roman civil government and exercised it to rule the Roman Empire. When Justinian took the throne in AD 554, he was accepted by the leader of this religion, and Justinian acknowledged the authority of that religious leader. Church and state were now combined. That's why now it's referred to as the Holy Roman Empire. And again, we're talking about who the king of the north is that the Bible talks about in this end time. It's this Holy Roman Empire. And when going through this, just consider how amazing and accurate the prophecies of the Bible are. We're looking at prophecies, and we can see that part of them have already been fulfilled. We have the dates and the names and what happened. But part of it is yet to be fulfilled. And of course, just logically, if everything else has been fulfilled up to this point, the final parts of this prophecy will be fulfilled as well. Notice Revelation 13 and verse 5. "And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And if you look at Ezekiel 4, verses 4 through 6, and Numbers 14, 34, you can see that the Bible has a day for a year principle. And so in this case, 42 months equals 1,260 days. That's 42 times 30, which is the way a month is reckoned in the Bible. The equivalent of 1,260 years in Bible prophecy. 1,260 days 1260 years in Bible prophecy. The length of time the church dominated healed the beast was to continue. So you can do the math. Beginning in AD 554, all the way to Napoleon being defeated in 1814, was 1260 years. Pretty astounding. Then the beast power was suspended for a time, but not finished. It will be here at the return of Christ. That's important. There is a bit of a suspension on that beast power's ruling, but it will rise again. Revelation 17 and verse 8 says, "The beast that you saw was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is." The Correspondence Course says that 8 of the 10 horns having arisen and fallen, the beast then temporarily went into the non-existent condition symbolized in Revelation 17, verse 8, as the bottomless pit. But in 1870, again, we have dates and names here of these prophecies, but in 1870, Garibaldi united the many little divisions of the peninsula of Italy into one nation, and the kingdom thus established began the ninth horn, which culminated in the fascist Nazi Axis rule of Mussolini and Hitler. That is not that long ago. We remember Mussolini and Hitler. So there's one last government, the tenth and final horn, that must once more arise out of the symbolic bottomless pit. The final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire. And today in our news, you can watch Europe, you can see what's happening in that area, and they're talking very openly about reviving their empire. That is happening on the scene today. When we talk about the King of the North and that power block, what the Bible is talking about is one final revival of the Holy Roman Empire, and you can see it rising in Europe today. For much more information on this, please request our free booklet, Who and What is the Prophetic Beast? And you can find that at thetrumpet.com. That's all the time we have for today on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. Thanks for spending some time with me. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.